Thank you, Bill. My name is Bricklayer Tom. I am an alcoholic, and I am very grateful to Sharon for the invite. Very grateful that there's somebody that thinks I have something to say worth listening to besides me. I'll be very honest with you. I get tired of listening to me, and I really don't like doing this. It is an honor and a privilege when somebody comes in and asks me to carry this message of recovery to the still suffering alcoholic. And for all you new people here, I want to welcome you to the greatest lost and found department the world has ever known. And if you're a drunk like me, you're in the safest place you could possibly be inside the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And to Allison and the other gentleman that had 9 years, thank God you made it back here. My sobriety day is 11/17/95. That is 11,237 days without a drink, 30 years, 9 months, and 6 days. And if it sounds like I'm bragging, I am. But not on me. 100% of the credit for that goes to Alcoholics Anonymous. I brag on AA all the time, just not on me. I don't take any credit for any of this. The only credit I can take for this, any of this, is having enough fear and pain to come in here and ask you people for help. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on my drinking because even after I've been sober for a while, even I love talking about AA and being in AA and sharing this message and talking about spiritual stuff and steps and fellowship. And I love talking about that stuff. But I still hate talking about what got me in here because it still gives me a knot in my stomach after 30 years. I have been given a chance to live a completely different life than the one I came in here with. My drunkalogue, which I don't really like that word, is very simple. I drank until I couldn't drink anymore. I picked up a drink. I picked up a bottle of Boone's Farm wine and I drank it in 20 minutes. I got sick as a dog, went into immediate blackout, threw up all over myself, got lost going home, and almost got thrown out of my house. And I was 13. That was my first drunk. But that also describes every drunk I had after that for the next 20 years. When I drink, three things happen. Bad ideas become good ideas. Unacceptable behavior becomes acceptable, and somebody's going to get hurt. And that's what happens when I pick up a drink every single time. I've had 4 drunk driving charges. I've been in more jails than I can count. I've been strapped down to hospital beds. I've been in courtrooms. I've been in prison. I've been through everything that people who drink the way I drink experience. That doesn't make me an alcoholic. And that's not what got me in here. I had gotten used to all that stuff. What got me in here was the fact that I realized that I have this body that is acutely, severely allergic to alcohol and a brain that tells me I can't survive without it. I've got a brain that tells me that the solution to all my problems is more of the same shit that caused all my problems. And that the only thing that's going to make me feel better is more of the same thing that made me sick. It's called alcoholism. I had this fatal fascination with booze and I couldn't shut it off. When I picked up that first drink at 13 years old, it flipped a switch in me. It took me 20 years to turn back off. I don't know if I was born an alcoholic. I don't get all wrapped around the axle about that. I'm pretty sure I was born with the allergy. There have been a few times in my life when I was able to say no to the first drink, but I have never in my life ever said no to the second drink. I can't. Once I pick up a drink, it's virtually impossible for me to stop unless something forces me to. I'm either locked up or passed out or whatever. So for the new people in here, you may have heard in here that, don't leave before the miracle happens. Well, I will tell you right now. If you're sitting in this room right now and you're an alcoholic and you have not had a drink today, the miracle has already happened. You're sitting in it. Now, if you want to hold on to it, there's a little bit of work to do. You got to take those 12 steps and put them into your life. Something spiritual will happen to you that you probably won't be able to explain. The obsession to drink can be removed, and you have a set of spiritual principles to live your life by sober. And he could experience something that very few people on this planet ever get a chance to experience. And that is the opportunity to live two completely separate, different lives. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I did not want to be here. I was introduced to it because of the courts. I had 40 EWIs, and they sent me here thinking you people were going to fix me. All it did was piss me off. And I didn't hear anything you said. When I heard that word God, I thought, this ain't going to work. I am not the kind of person that easily asks for help. In fact, it's one of the hardest things I've ever done in here. I don't want to join any fellowship. I don't want to do any steps. They don't make any sense. I didn't want to do any of this. But I didn't want to die drunk either, and I was real close to it. So when I came into AA, my first sobriety date was 6, 7, 8, 9. That's when I first came into AA, not to save my ass, but to save my life. I woke up in a prison cell in Adams County, Pennsylvania, with blood on my clothes and stitches in my face again. And something in me snapped. Something broke inside of me. This is not the way my life is supposed to turn out. I was raised better than this. I am smarter than this. Why can't I make this shit stop? And I'll be honest with you, I got scared. I'm a 6'2", 250-pound barroom brawling redneck stonemason. I was a bouncer for 7 years. I used to get big good money and free booze and throw people through windows. I don't scare easy. But when I woke up in that prison cell, man, I was scared. I can't make this stop. Whatever's wrong with me, I can't fix it. Whatever power I need to resist that first drink, I don't have it. And I got scared. It only takes two things to get in here, fear and pain. How much it takes for you, I have no idea. I know how much it took for me. But it only takes two things to stay here. And I don't mean keep coming back. I mean stay here. And that's willingness and faith. My buddy Craig says that willingness is a well-whipped ass. He's right, it is. Willingness is just doing what you don't want to do or what you're afraid to do. And faith is just doing what you're not sure is going to work. And you only need a little bit of both of those. You don't need much. Thank God, because that's all I had. I had just enough willingness to come in here and get those five words, those five hardest words I have ever said in my life to come out of my mouth. Will you please help me? That sounds easy unless you're me. And then it'll be the hardest thing you've ever done in here because I was not used to asking or letting people help me. But when I did that, I walked up to a man who was 30 years sober. I was about 30 hours sober. And I said to him, "My name's Tom. I'm an alcoholic. I want to quit drinking, but I don't think I can do it." And I said to him, I reached out my hand for the first time in my life to another man. And I said, "Will you please help me?" And that man said two things to me. And if I live to be 100 years old, I will never forget what that man said to me. The first thing he said to me scared the hell out of me. And the second thing he said to me saved my life. And the first thing out of his mouth was, "There's not a thing in this world I can do to help you." And I felt my legs start to go out from under me. Man, I'd finally got enough nerve to ask for help. And the first thing out of this man's mouth is, "There's not a thing in this world I can do to help you." And he did something, this little short, bald-headed man. Dark glasses and bad breath got right up in my face and he poked me in the chest with his finger, which I assure you is something people did not do to me. And he didn't care. He got right up in my face and he looked me right in the face and he said, "Son, if you want help, if you truly want help, I suggest you get on your damn knees and ask for it, and you better mean it. I don't care whether you believe it or not, what you believe or think you believe or what you've convinced yourself is real or not real or what you were taught or how you were raised. Nobody in here cares. If you want help, get on your knees and ask for it, and you better mean it, because if you don't, he'll know it." Then he turned and walked away, walked outside. Now, I've had an idea or a belief in God my entire life. Don't ask me why, because I have no idea why. I don't know where that came from. I was baptized Presbyterian. I don't even know how to spell it. I have no clue what it means. I wasn't raised in any kind of religious family or anything. We went to church on Easter and Christmas Eve. So the only thing I knew about God was how to spell it, but I've always believed in one. I mean, we're hanging on a rock out in the vacuum of space, for Christ's sake. So it's obvious there's something going on above my pay grade that I'm never going to understand. So I've never doubted the existence of some kind of creative intelligence or spirit of the universe or whatever you want to call higher power, whatever you feel like calling it. Alcoholics Anonymous is the only place that you can come in here and make peace with your own God in your own way, in your own time, and call it whatever you want. There's no place else you're allowed to do that, but you can do it in here. Thank God, or I wouldn't be here. When that man said that to me, I got really scared because I knew I don't know how to do that. I had never prayed in my life. I thought it was silly. And as many times I've been locked up in wrecked cars and jails and courtrooms, it never occurred to me to ask God for help. But when he said that, I thought, man, that's the only thing left you haven't tried, buddy. That is the only thing left you've never tried because I tried everything to quit and control my drinking. You name it, I tried it. And when he said that, I thought, there's nothing else left to try. And I thought, what do I got to lose? So on the ride home from that meeting in Baltimore back to where I live in Carroll County, which is about a half hour drive, this thought popped into my head, and I have no idea where it came from. And the thought was, if you have something that's not, I'm an old construction guy, I've been in construction all my life. If you have something that ain't working the way it's supposed to, take it to the one that made it to have it fixed. And I don't know where that came from. I've always believed I was created by God. I think every human being on this planet was, but don't ask me why I believe that because I can't tell you. So I did what the man said. I went to where my wife was living. I wasn't living there at the time. I was living in a 73, my first mobile home was a 73 Chevy pickup with everything I owned in the back. That was my first mobile home. That's where I was living at the time. But I went to a house where my wife was living. She wasn't home. And I knew where the key was. I opened the door, went upstairs to what used to be my bedroom, and I got down on my knees beside what used to be my bed. And as soon as my knees touched the floor for the first time in my life at 33 years old, what came out was, God, please help me. I'm a drunk and I don't want to die this way. And I assure you, I meant it. And I'm not going to sit here and try and tell you what happened. I don't even know if that was a legitimate prayer. Father Martin, who was very instrumental in AA in the early days, Father Martin calls that the cry of a soul in pain. That's exactly what it was. And I'm not going to sit here and try and tell you what happened. All I can tell you is my first spiritual experience was not the first time I got on my knees. It was when I got back up. Something was different. Something had changed. Nothing outside of me had changed, but something inside of me had absolutely changed. I felt it. And I got this overwhelming sense that somehow, some way, everything's going to be okay. And I hadn't felt like that in years. And I came back into AA because even though I was not here those years I was in AA, I was here to stay out of jail. I wasn't here to get sober. But I saw something in here that you'd have to be blind not to see. I saw people getting sober. I saw people who drank the way I did, crack a fifth of Jim Beam in the morning, throw the cap away daily for years. I saw people that drank like that were sober. Some of them I actually knew. Some of them I grew up with. Some of them I had drank with that I hadn't seen for a while. And I came into AA and there they are. And there was something different about them. And they were sober, some of them 2, 3, 4 years, which I thought that's freaking impossible. Nobody can do that. And they were. And I know they were because I checked. I knew where they lived. I knew their families. And I went and checked. My one buddy Brian and his wife Debbie that I've known most of my life, I said, what's up with Brian? She said, oh, he's sober in AA now. He goes to work every day and brings his paychecks home on Friday and pays bills and hangs out with the kids and shows up at birthday parties and anniversaries and, shows up at Christmas and Thanksgiving and I freaking hated him because that's the kind of life I wanted. That's the kind of life I've always wanted. And he had it, and I was jealous, and I hated him for it. So I knew that there was something in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. If it could happen to him, because he drank the way I did. So I knew that there was something in here. I didn't know what it was. I didn't want God to be the answer. Please let it be anything but that, because it confused me. It frustrated me. It wasn't reasonable. It wasn't logical. It didn't make sense. And it scared the hell out of me. But when there's nothing else left to try, and you don't want to die drunk, and you know you're real close to it like I was, everybody here talks about hitting bottom. Ain't nobody in this room hit bottom. None of us. We all got real close. I got real close. I know people who have hit bottom, and you'll never see them in another AA meeting. They didn't hit a rock bottom. They hit a dirt bottom. And they're not coming back. They hit bottom. So I knew that this was my last shot. If this doesn't work, I'm a dead man. And I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous. I did what that man said. I got on my knees and asked
12
God,
minutes.
please, thanks. And I didn't drink that day. And I did that the next day, and I didn't drink that day. I did that for 8 days in a row. And I didn't drink for 8 days, which had not happened to me for a long time, except when I was locked up. And I came back into Alcoholics Anonymous after I dried out a little bit. I asked the man who turned out to be my sponsor, will you please help me? I'm not going to tell you what he said. But he took me through this program. He showed me how this program worked. He didn't tell me, he showed me. Took me through the big book, handed me my third edition big book that I got sober out of. He said, read this book like your life depends on it, because it does, if you're an alcoholic. And that man showed me how this program works. He took me into his home with his family. And I saw what I wanted in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I became willing to do anything. I didn't care what it took to find what that man had found. And he showed me what he did. And he took me through the steps. And he showed me how to do service work. I learned how to pray and meditate in here. I learned how to do inventory in here. I learned how to make amends in here. I learned how to do service work. I learned how to grow up in AA. And today, I can't think of a human being on this planet that I would trade my life with right now. I got a little gal in there that I've been married to for 49 years, still calls me sweetheart. And if she'd have did to me what I did to her, I wouldn't have stayed. And I'm honest about that. I was married to her for 10 years before my first son was born, and I missed it because I was drunk. I missed my first son being born because I was drunk. That's going to haunt me the rest of my life. I thought it was more important to be in a bar getting free drinks than to be in the hospital with my wife giving birth to my son. It makes me sick to my stomach now to even say that. But that's who I was. Today, that same son. And I'll end with this because this is my third edition big book that I got sober out of. I keep this in here because if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't have this. That son that I missed being born, he's 38 now. He's married, got kids of his own. Three Father's Days ago, he gave me this card. And this is what he wrote inside the card. Said, Dad, I am the man I am today because of you. My optimism and perseverance to never quit, my strong will and ability to see the solution in every problem by keeping a clear head. I am the man I am today because of you. I cannot express the words of how grateful I am to call you my father. You make me feel blessed every day. I love you. Happy Father's Day, Christopher. That's Alcoholics Anonymous. That's not me. So if you're new here, you've got no idea what you got a hold of. You could not possibly understand what's being offered to you. If you're a hopeless, useless, worthless drunk like I was, and you're sitting in this room right now, you have been given a gift that very, very few people ever get a shot at. Don't screw it up, because you might not get another one. I am not a first nighter. That's a story for a different day. I was sober in here for 6 years and got drunk again because I thought I could start doing this by myself after 6 years sober. And I paid a very dear price for it. It cost me my sobriety and almost killed me. And the shame and guilt of that took me 8 months to come back in here and admit to you people what I had done, that I screwed up. And all you ever said to me was the same thing I said to Allison and to the gentleman who's after 9 years, thank God you made it back here. That's all that matters. You didn't lose what you had. You did what I did. You just lost sight of it. A mistake which I will never make again. I'm almost 31 years sober, and I still can't do this by myself, and I'm not dumb enough to ever try again. I don't have to. If you walk into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and you're an alcoholic, you don't ever have to be drunk again. You don't ever have to be alone again, and you don't have to suffer anymore. And more importantly, you don't have to make the people who love and care about you suffer either. One of the most wretched symptoms of alcoholism is the ones we love the most are usually the ones we hurt the most. And that's what got me in here. So if you're new here, count your blessings that you made it here. If you're coming back, thank God you made it back. And please just stay here. This is a shot that you probably will not get another one. And I don't know whether anything I said is going to make a difference in anybody's life, but I can tell you this. I spend every single day thanking God for the gift that I received in this fellowship, that this thing was here. When I crashed and burned, that this thing was here and it was up and running, and all I had to do was open that book and follow directions. And I am very grateful for that. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life thanking the God that I never talked to. I'm going to spend the rest of my life thanking him for that because I know that's where it came from. God bless you all. I want to thank Sharon for asking me to come in here. Bill, thank you for your service. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Please reach out, grab somebody's hand. You don't have to do this alone. You can't do it by yourself or you wouldn't be here. And if you can get them five hard words to come out of your mouth, you can start a new life in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. God bless you all. Have a safe and sober Sunday.